Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Metamoon podcast. I'm Emily, and I find this weird experience we call life completely fascinating. So I interview experts, teachers, creatives, and people with interesting stories so we can all make sense of what's happening here and how we can all enjoy the ride a little bit more. Just a quick reminder, if you're enjoying this podcast, please leave a rating and a review. That will really help me grow this and bring you guys more amazing guests and more consistent content. All right, today is my conversation with Aaliyah Lovely. She is an energy reader, energy coach, and the podcast host of Spiritual Shit. She helps people find answers energetically that they're looking for within themselves through spirit. We talked about what energy is, finding balance in our masculine and feminine sides. We talked about surrender and intuition and all kinds of good stuff. So enjoy my conversation with Aaliyah Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Coming on. Yeah, I know you've been saying you've been in a crazy season of a lot of interviews.
Yeah, it's time, I think. Like, yeah, this thing that I've been trying to manifest for a while is starting to really kick up. So trying to be present for it.
Yeah, that's awesome. What is it that you've been trying to manifest?
I want to be Oprah 2.0.
Yes.
I want to be Aaliyah, actually, but like, you get what I'm saying, like, I'd love to be able to be deep. I'm in that track anyway, to be a spiritual teacher, but definitely someone who helps and exposes other information that may not be accessible to the mainstream, mostly because I grew up, you know, very, very Christian. And while there's nothing wrong with that, I had gifts and abilities that the Christian confines couldn't really perceive, and or it didn't fit into. So my exploration of self, I'm getting outside of that and then giving other people a space and community to exercise some of these weirder things that are not so mainstream and or accepted.
That's awesome. I'm curious if you feel like this weird season that we've been in with quarantine and everything kind of being pulled apart, has that played into that transition of what you're manifesting kind of coming to be? Has there been anything in all of that letting go that's kind of aided in that mission for you?
I would say absolutely. I've been on the awakening journey for about 10 years. And so I was 25, really had kind of like the rug pulled from underneath me as far as all of my, you know, foundational belief systems and things like that. So I've been in this process probably for 10 years, trying to manifest this particular season, getting to a place where I feel like I really understand myself and my own, maxims about spirituality and or psychology and philosophy. So, it's been a long road. And then particularly, in the last 2 years, I've done so much like shadow work and a lot of like just, confidence building into my gifts and things like that, getting out of imposter syndrome and all that, I believe that I've been specifically placed in a time just right before all this stuff went down to be someone to hug the people who are going through it now, essentially. So, I do feel like I've been prepared and or groomed for where I'm right now. And now it's just a matter of me like stepping into that. Deeply stepping into that.
Yeah. I feel you on the imposter syndrome. It's rough. And I feel like women get it worse. It's like, especially if you're trying to use your voice and like be a big presence, that's a big obstacle, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Cause we're always taught to be nice and be kind, do this and don't be aggressive and don't be bossy. And there's so many, stipulations to our presence, like that asks us to be small, even with just like body context, like, you know, can't gain weight, can't be this, can't be that. And the whole idea is to keep women on a material and matter level small. And so to be able to play out of that has been really fun.
Yes, same. So you mentioned a few things about your story, but I would love for everybody to just hear kind of the condensed like highlights and lowlights and all the in-betweens version of your story, kind of who you are, how you came to be doing what you're doing. So can you give us a little bit of who Aaliyah is?
Bet. So it all started from the womb and no, I'm just kidding.
I was born.
I grew up, super, super religious. My parents were awesome, like good people. But the church was highly stifling for me, especially someone who questions a lot of stuff. So I started off being like, well, what about the dinosaurs? And when did this thing happen? And, you know, just kind of be very inquisitive. But that being meaning that I wasn't someone of faith, that like I questioned things, that I wasn't someone of faith, and that really never sat well with me. So I've suppressed a lot of my own intuition and a lot of my own, I would say, markers of discovery, and allowed and deferred my own intellect to other people, other authorities, for sure. When I was about 10, I had a very paranormal experience that really like validated some of the things that I had been seeing from about 5 until I was 10, ghosts, spirits, hearing things or whatever, and having that connection to other consciousnesses. When my dad finally admitted to me that he can see them too, I was like, whoa, like this is kind of a thing. And then my grandma came out and said it to me. So it was like, there's something in our family that allowed me to have some type of gift. Now I'm not the most gifted, but like some type of gifts to be able to look into, things that were beyond what sight could really explain. Mm-hmm. And so when I got, fast forward into when I was about 25, I moved to London to be with my, then boyfriend, who then I married and who is now my ex-husband. It kind of took me out of the bubble, and I got an opportunity to experience people that thought very differently than I did and started that questioning right back up again. So in that process, I ended up getting the rug pulled from underneath me, my foundation of my Christianity. I started really looking into a lot of different type of spiritual things and trying to figure out what resonated with me. And that has really been a 10-year journey of like discovering and then rediscovering. And I think this, and now I don't think this anymore, and kind of like going between the two. When me and my ex-husband moved into one of our houses, it was very haunted. I wouldn't say haunted. I hate the word haunted because it has a negative connotation, but there was spirit presence there, and someone knocking you know, cups and stuff off the desks and shampoos and stuff off the counters, and like it was happening all the time, to the point where me and him were arguing about it because he's like, that didn't happen. And there was one time in particular where there was this makeup kit that I had on the back of the toilet that kept flying off about 5-6 feet away from where the toilet was. And I was telling him about it, and he's like, no, I probably just slid off or whatever. And while we were arguing about it, it happened. And I was like, see, they wanted you to show you that they were there. So it was a lot of that, like experiencing these one-off things and being like, is it a coincidence? Is it not? Blah, blah, blah. So then I moved to New York. And that was when I really started to find myself and my people. They really do mean it when, if you can make it in New York, you can make it anywhere. But it's because there's so many people and there's so much stuff going on, and there's a lot of hardship that happens while you're there because everything's super expensive. And it put me on this 2-year journey of really finding out who I am, really finding my identity. What did I believe? What did I think? That got me to a place of just getting really super raw with myself and stop denying the things that I know to be true because people don't accept them. Mm-hmm. Fast forward a little bit more, I moved back to Kansas City, where I live now, and just really had a healing period of time where I had to go back through all of the traumas and pains that I experienced up to that point to get me back in touch with my authentic self. And that is when I believe that a lot of this other stuff started to kick off with the podcast. I do energy sessions and stuff like that, which I started doing in New York anyway, but it was the culmination of me really embodying, I would say, my mission and what I came here for, the things that I felt called to when I was 5 and 9 and 16. And when I finally stopped ignoring them. And so that cultivation process, and maybe that was the plan all along, but that cultivation process of being able to get back to my authentic self so I could really speak my truth and start allowing new things to come in into my ether or whatever. Sorry, they're doing some construction. To bring that in to my own awareness and then give that to other people. I do think that my gift has been something about voice. Lots of mediums speak on it all the time. They're like, there's something in your voice that makes it, you know. So there is some frequency that allows other people to awaken to that. And me stepping into that has been, I mean, almost a lifelong process of getting to the point where I'm actually expressing my truth and not letting it be suppressed anymore.
Mm. That's beautiful. Yeah, I think a lot of times, just especially in Western culture, we kind of have this idea that we're supposed to just arrive at what we're here to do so quickly and easily and in this effortless way, but I think there's a beauty in what feels like going off the path, or that we're going in a different direction and maybe it's more convoluted and complicated and we have to find our way back into that. That's a really crucial part of the process, because now you have the knowledge to know what it feels like to get back to your authentic self. And so you can help other people go through that experience in a more genuine way, because you found it. Like, you went all these different ways and learned all these things, and it brought you to this place. And so now you can bring that to other people. So that's really beautiful. So on the topic of being an energy reader and energy coach, is that how you kind of call yourself? Yeah. So for this people who might feel a little skeptical about that, or just not really understand what energy is, I feel like one thing that I really love about you and your work, I mean, you're so clearly tapped in. Like, I can tell just listening to the way you speak on your podcast, like, you're speaking from a place of heart over mind. It's not always just ideas. It's like I can feel you tapping into something and kind of channeling that and sharing it through your podcast. But you also have such a grounded, raw, real way of talking about things that can seem really mystical and elusive. So I would love to hear, for somebody who maybe doesn't really understand energy or is skeptical, if you can kind of break that down, what you do when you're working with energy, what those sessions look like, and how that all kind of came to be.
Yeah. Well, I would say, you know, on every scale, energy is everything. Okay. Energy is God, like consciousness, like matter, all of it is all connected through energy. It is the building blocks of what it is that we put together, the world, essentially. And so, like, we all know, even people who don't believe, we can walk in a place and go, "Ooh, this place got bad vibes," or "I got a feeling about this person. I'm not sure about them," or whatever. What you're reading is energy, this vibrational thing. So if we're going to talk about this in a scientific way, you can look at vibration, for instance, the type of frequency that comes through. A high vibrational frequency is very tight and up and down, close waveforms, and denser, lower energies are that slower, further apart type of waveform. So we can feel that in someone's energy when we engage with them in their auric space. And so for me personally, how it works, and like everybody, I believe everybody has spiritual gifts. Whether or not you believe that affects how well they work. Mm-hmm. So you think, I don't think I'm very psychic. Well, guess what? You're not. So it's kind of like you tapping into that. So I've understood for myself that my strongest gifts are clairaudience, which is hearing, and clairsentience. I'm not so much a seer. I do see, but I'm not as much gifted in that particular area. So for me, when I read energy, it is by sound of voice. So I can tell in someone's voice what chakras they might have plugged, or areas in their heart where they might like be working through some stuff. I can even tell whether or not they're being authentic or not, whether they're coming from a place of truth. The tricky part is that some people, when they are lying, believe that they're true. So that changes the frequency of their voice. So it doesn't make me a mind reader, and it doesn't make it like me infallible about knowing who's telling the truth and who's not. But instead, it allows me to get a marker or a reading on what energy they're presenting inside of their self. So I could tell when people haven't done shadow work and they're sitting with blocky, suppressed, you know, like underbelly kind of rot, which I call rot, is when we don't deal with our shit and it starts to decay. And so in my sessions, I will tap into kind of like you would connect to a Wi-Fi signal. You connect to those people and into the frequency of their voice. Like, for instance, you and your voice, I can hear that you have a lot of masculine energy in your voice. And so you might feel kind of like, or be better at grounding, faster at grounding than others, but you might not allow more of that nurturing side to come in, and the creation side. You might doubt your intuition when it comes through. So, and as I'm telling you that, I'm getting a lot of chills on this side, on my masculine side, which affirms me that that's true. So that's kind of how that comes through. Sorry, not to like put you on.
No, I love it. I was going to ask you, can you hear any chakra blockages happening?
I can't. Well, because you've got one in your heart and I can hear that, but I don't know if that's something we want to talk about on the show.
Yeah, I was just curious. I'm open. I'm like, let's hear it. Yeah. So people have been saying, I've been getting kind of some intuitions and different things telling me about something in my gut lately too. So I don't know if maybe you were picking up on that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, but like, I mean, it's like quick and dirty here, you know?
Yeah.
But there it's not like, and I think a lot of people think when they think about people who are mediums or psychics or anything like that, the approach is that they're future tellers or that they know everything, that they're omniscient and omnipotent in some kind of way. And I think we need to rework the way we think about people who have these gifts, because it doesn't, they're still human. Yeah. And like people who have really, really fostered their craft, like the really great psychics are probably like 80 some years old or something like that. That's not always the truth. Some people come in like right and tapped in, but they've mastered their craft in some kind of way. So for instance, I have mediumship stuff that happens to me all the time. I can connect to other consciousnesses. I can tell somebody, oh, your mom passed away. I can feel her. You know, there's stuff that comes through that's 100% evidential and true, but I don't have enough confidence in that gift to be able to bring it forward, because there's so much attached to it for people. It's very emotional, but also like, if you're charging any money, people are like, oh, you're getting taken advantage of. There's so much stigma. It's probably the highest stigmatized job profession besides sex work.
Yeah.
And so in that, like, people have this idea, like, you know, doctors, for instance, go to school for 10 years or something, and they can still be wrong. They can still get diagnosis wrong or whatever, but you ask a psychic who obviously didn't have to go to school and won't charge you nearly as much. you know, for people, if they got one thing wrong or something that they weren't super tapped in, it's like, this stuff isn't true. And it's a massive disservice to the gifts and information you could be receiving, but you have to make sure that it resonates with you. Yeah. So for myself, like, I tap into certain energies, and it doesn't necessarily mean that I interpret them always correctly, but you have to, like, you, the sitter has to discern what works for you and what doesn't. Now, I usually am pretty spot on, and I utilize cards, energy oracle cards, as a tool, because I allow my guides to kind of like run that session when it happens. But even on my podcast, like you said, like I'm tapping into some type of strain of consciousness that I don't usually remember what it is that I was talking about on the podcast. I tap into whatever that is. I meditate beforehand and says, what does the collective need to hear right now? What's important for them to connect to right now? And allow that to come through me. Let me be a vessel to communicate healing to the world in areas where, you know, my consciousness or my bias or my education might inhibit what the heart and message that needs to come through.
Yeah. Why do you think it is that our culture is so quick to judge or like comes to those things in such a skeptical way? Because there's so many other cultures that is such a rich part of it. And it seems like it's something that we've kind of lost touch with.
We've swung into our masculine too hard. Mm. Our intuition lies in the feminine energetic. So everybody's got both sides. We've got masculine and feminine on both sides. So for men, for instance, in our patriarchal type of society, they're not able to tap in as much to their feminine intuition because they've been told that part of themselves is bad. If God forbid they like have any other desires that are outside of that box that's considered masculine, you know, then it's like, oh, you're gay or you're this or you're that. You're ridiculed for being able to access the full range of your energies that are available to you. And so that's a huge problem because it's incredibly stifling. And for women, like it's naturally accepted that female intuition. Why? Because we're tapped into our feminine side. We don't have as much of that suppression. However, in a time period where feminism and us trying to get equal rights and equal opportunities with men, women have turned off their feminine aspects of themselves because in our very masculine culture, it's not valued. So it's not valued to be the creator and to be nurturer and to allow things to come to you. We've had to now put on a masculine mask, go into the workforce, forget the baby that we just had. Like, we don't get acclimated, like enough time to heal. And so we don't lose our job. And so in order to be able to be equal, we've become like men, and that's caused us a lot of health problems. It's caused a lot of like energetic fluctuations, us not being able to tap into our intuition as well as a means to be able to suppress that part of ourselves that's very important for us to connect. So obviously that's not a whole thing. That's a generalization, but I believe that's why like culturally we are swinging more into a feminine, like COVID has a lot to do with that. Mother Earth kind of taking shit back and being like, yo, y'all need to get back into balance. And us being able to do that and able to sit like with ourselves. A lot of us couldn't work. A lot of us, even if we could work, we had to be at home. That means we connected more with our family. We started to prioritize our relationships over work. Now work says, okay, don't come into work if you're feeling sick. Like, that's a massive change than before, where they're like, can you still come in if you're not feeling well? And so us being able to come into that nurturing, healing aspect of ourselves to engage with that. And I think that as we're doing that, a lot more people are getting in touch with their feminine energies that allow for them to be able to contract those spiritual gifts that we're talking about.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I feel like a lot of times some of these shifts that feel really jarring or scary for us is that pull of balance. Cause if we go too far in one way with duality, then just the nature of life is to pull us back into that center. And a lot of times that other force kind of coming and pulling us that way can feel uncomfortable. It can feel abrasive, especially if we've gone so far one way. It takes kind of a lot of force to pull us back into that center. So I think that is definitely a lot of what's happening right now.
Hey, so maybe you love listening to me interview people, but you're like, Emily, you drop all this wisdom on TikTok and YouTube and Instagram, and I just want to hear more of what you have to say. Well, lucky for you, you can. I record a weekly monocast where I talk about everything I've been learning, reading, researching. I answer all your questions and dive deeper into topics, tools, and resources to help support your mental health and your well-being. But your girl gotta make money somehow, so this podcast is available for my club members only. It's very collaborative, and I make each episode based on what my members want to hear. So if that sounds like something that maybe you'd be into, join the club. It's $5. People always say that that's the cost of a coffee, but I live in LA and that shit's like $8. So I'm offering you curated wisdom for less than a hit of caffeine. All right. It's at patreon.com/metamoon. If you want to join that, the link is also in the show notes and my socials. So let's get back to Aaliyah.
You mentioned that something that you're really excited about and passionate about right now is the idea of surrender, the topic of surrender. So I'd love to hear kind of what you're understanding about that and what you're excited to share about it. Let's dive into that word a little bit.
Surrender is my favorite thing now because I was so bad at it before. And it was something like control. Control was always my biggest problem. I'm a woman who has a very feminine core, but has operated in the masculine for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of endocrine issues and a lot of like period issues and stuff like that, because my energies I'm trying to get pulled back into the feminine. So surrender is the aspect of the feminine. It is being able to allow things to come into our life instead of having to push and make them happen. Being someone who's been such a practicer of making things happen. I would, you know, like I've always been someone who's like, oh, what is that? Okay. I'm going to go out and get it, you know, and do whatever possible to make that happen. But I found that spirit, source, universe, God, whatever you want to call it, kept drawing me into these situations that would force me to stop. And whether my health would get, have an issue or I break something, or, there was a lot of like just movement towards slowing down. And so, I've talked about this a lot on my podcast, but I wasn't living in New York at the height of, you know, my career. And I had just broken up with my ex-husband. And I decided I was going to go out and do all this dating, you know, whatever. And like, I really just put this masculine energy on, because New York is very much energetically masculine. So I was doing all this stuff, but I was getting really sick and I was getting depressed and I was getting really tired. And I was having like more than health issues, financial issues, love issues, self-worth issues, and couldn't get to a place where I felt grounded. And so I tried to move to Paris. It was an 8-month process with a visa and the whole thing. And the situation ended up being where this timeline was really off, where the place where I lived was like, you need to sign this lease. And I was still waiting on a visa. And I was like, I'm going to get it in a few days. Please wait. And they're like, no, you need to tell us now or then. I called the place and they were like, you'll get it. Don't worry. You have all the stuff or whatever. So I let go of my apartment and I sold all my stuff. I get my visa and I didn't get it. So like, I was like, oh shit, I'm homeless. Like, I have nowhere to go. I can't move there. I was supposed to plan whatever. So it completely changed the course of my life and had to move back to Kansas City. And I remember thinking, I was so mad. Just like, I had all these plans and I had all this stuff and like, what the fuck is going on? Now, this isn't the first time it's happened in my life. And I won't tell you that other story, but it's just essentially like I keep experiencing these giant rug pulls. So last year, I'm spending a year in Kansas City trying to surrender, trying to be in the feminine. Okay, what does it look like to rest? Oh, you know, like just the idea of rest was so foreign to me because I worked all the time. It was crazy. And getting to this place where then I decided I was going to go on this remote year. And I left. I went to Bali in January and February, went to France, and then COVID hit. So I had to come back and cancel all of my plans for this year. I was supposed to go be in Portugal and then in Spain and Croatia and Cape Town, all this stuff. So I was having PTSD because I was like, this is the same thing. I am getting the rug pulled from underneath me again. Now, obviously, this happened to a lot of people in COVID. A lot worse stuff could have happened. But I was reeling from feeling that feeling again of like making this giant plan and the universe just shitting all over it. And so I felt this like sensation of like, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? Like, I'm trying to do the best that I can to go and do and move and be. And like my guide was like, sit the fuck down. Like, sit down. Like, you're doing too much. Like, you don't understand that in your feminine energy, you have a more powerful tool to be able to draw things towards you instead of having to go get everything. Mm. So I really made a practice of this, like, idea of queen. Like, I'm going to be a queen. And the queen doesn't get up for nothing. Like, the queen asks for something and they bring it to her. So what does that look like for my life? And even just in the last month, month and a half, I called in my soulmate, like this person I've been looking for such a long time, because I've been trying to go and do and be and, you know, like to go get him. And all I needed to do was sit back and surrender. And then that energy completely shifted and changed everything for me in my whole life. So Brianna Weiss has a quote, and I'm not going to quote it verbatim because I'll mess it up. But she talks about this concept of what we think will make us happy. And so the idea is that like we run after things that we think will make us happy based on a past experience. So we're only constructing our future from something based on the past. But if there was something that would make us happier, we would have no idea of what that was because we hadn't experienced it and wouldn't be able to conceptualize that. So the universe sometimes is like, nah, bigger. And we're sitting here fighting, being like, you know, I want this little piece of whatever that we think is the ultimate, the coup de grace of like what we have coming to us. And the universe is like, sit down, sit down. We're trying to give you this other thing. So it doesn't mean to go without action because the universe will definitely present things where you need to make action for those things to happen. But I was relying so much on that masculine energy, my own self, to go do stuff when I have the power of the universe behind me saying, yo, we have muscle here. It's like you're moving into a new house and you're like, no, I'll move the couch by myself. And they're like, we have other people here that can help you. In fact, you can sit on the couch while we move it. Yeah. You know?
Yeah.
That's yes. Been a big girl. Surrender.
That is, I love all of that so much. I love that quote. And it makes so much sense because I feel like when we look at our life in hindsight and we see those big moments of shifts, it's normally something we never would have seen coming or we weren't planning. And it usually comes out of a season of something being pulled away, like something that we had to let go of that was not serving us anymore. Because I think what I found in my life and what it seems like a lot of people also go through is that we have this like attachment, this like comfort security blanket that we're like, I want this thing, but I don't want to let go of this other thing that's literally in the way of that. And we have to sometimes have things be shed, be pushed out of our comfort zone to make space for something to come in. And it often doesn't look the way that we thought. We don't get there the way that we thought we would get there. So I love all of that so much.
So sorry guys, like I have guides that talk to me all the time in my ears. They had just said that the reason why the US is having such a hard time getting coronavirus under control and like the idea of COVID is that we won't surrender. Yeah. But this country in particular has such a masculine lean because we're like such capitalists and we have to go after everything and whatever. That whole mindset is not the same mindsets of people in other countries for sure. And so perhaps energetically, yes, it's also our leadership that's lacking there as well. But I think that there's this aspect of like deep surrender that needs to happen, a repairing of the feminine in this country. Because countries, like you mentioned, they have a deeper connection to spirit and a deeper connection to intuition where we ridicule that so hard. We need facts, we need science, we need this. And it's like science has been 200 years old. Like we don't have enough of resources yet to catch up to what explains what's happening in our world. So I do think that our country is going through this deep surrender phase where it's like, come on guys, like we need to get to that place where we're shifting. And I don't think Mother Earth is going to let us do so without a fight.
Yeah. Yeah, that's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that. I feel like we definitely are like reaching the max of going out, like external, like pushing and creating all of this stuff and moving. And at a certain point, you have to come back in. It's like if you're always exhaling, at a certain point, you have to inhale. And that's what it does feel like we're starting to do. It's that coming back, going inward, slowing down. It is this giant act of rebalancing, which it could be really hard if you're just, if that's feels like going backwards from what you're used to. But
yeah,
it's really beautiful too. I wrote this quote down from your Instagram because I wanted to say it right, but I read something that you wrote on Instagram that I loved. You said, "You were told you were just a cog in the wheel when in fact you're the whole damn vehicle." That, I loved that. And I wanted to talk a little bit about your process of realizing that about yourself, realizing the totality of who you are, mm-hmm. and kind of what that journey has looked like in sort of your awakening experience and realizing that you're more than just this cog that you've been told that you are, and how that perspective has shifted the way that you live your life.
Well, there has been, I mean, being a woman of color, and especially in this country, has been a lot of like suppression, oppression, in many forms. If you are a woman, you also understand that on any level of like what would bother you about that. And so given my background and given like the, you know, with religion and stuff like that, there was always this idea that I was just a mere ant in the process of, you know, this bigger picture that was happening. And while that may be true to some degree, in the macrocosm, we can go into the micro and say, actually, I'm a pretty big player. So are you. And we are these fractals and or fragments of the perspective of the universe experiencing itself through us. So while it may seem like we are ant-like, we're still a whole perspective that the universe decided to create us to experience that through. So every experience matters, like big time. So there was this kind of realization to myself, especially when it comes to like imposter syndrome and all that kind of stuff of like, what do I have to say? Or why would someone listen to me? Or, you know, those kind of things. Me essentially embracing the effects that I was having on people. And like, if I continue to stay small, that my message or my purpose of why I'm here would not be fulfilled. And so I couldn't, rightfully so, as I was having that awakening process, I was like, wow, like it's really doing me and the world the biggest disservice by me not claiming every part of who I am. And this idea, like, I mean, we're all conditioned to do that, right? Well, I'm not that good at this. If you're not perfect at it, then you can't do it. You know, like if you're like, we stopped thinking that we could just do things because they were fun instead of we have to think about why we can make money from them or, you know, whatever. So I remember the whole idea, even behind my podcast, like everybody's got a podcast. Who's going to listen to me? I had like at least 15 people tell me in the same week, you should start a podcast. Something about your voice. You sound like you should be on radio. And mm-hmm. I remember just thinking that like, but who's going to listen to me? So imagine if I had not done that. And I was still looking for another path. I knew there was something bigger for me. And I thought, well, maybe that's arrogant for me to think that there's something bigger for me or whatever. Like, who am I to think? And that phrase, who am I to think? Who am I to be? Like, shut that shit down right now. Because it is you externalizing your worth according to who you find, you know, your own perception of who you find big or small or whatever. Who am I to think that I can blah, 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 based on your own perception? However, the words that you have to speak or the thing that you have to do in the world could save someone's life. It could change their whole perspective. You could just you and your fractal of the way that the universe sees the world can appeal to somebody that creates a ripple effect that you would not even be privy to, but it was a part of your purpose and your contract to be here. And so for me, I felt like, gosh, if I've had 15 people come up to me and tell me this, the universe is trying to get my attention about something. Okay. I don't even listen to podcasts. Like, how would I even begin to start this? How does someone talk for 20 minutes? I found out it's not that hard, but like, you know, as you're channeling, especially like there's just this like, there was definitely a part of me that woke up to like, it's bigger than what I can see. So let me stop my bullshit and stop my imposter syndrome and stop playing small and get into what that looks like. It doesn't mean you need to be arrogant. It doesn't mean you need to be the best. You just need to do whatever it is and lean into whatever brings you joy. Cause for me, doing this kind of stuff, I fucking love it. I fucking love it. I didn't know I would love it. It's back to that quote that I was talking about. Like, I had no idea this would be my dream job until I started doing it. And I was like, oh shit, here it is. That aspect of self-discovery and saying like, okay, it is, we all have this idea that you have, like, especially in America, you have to be the best at something to be worthy to do it. And that's just not true. Because like a lot of the most, like, you watch a child play basketball. Like one of my friends, their kid, Grayson, he's like, I'm Michael Jordan. He loves to shoot the thing. That brings him so much joy. If he had come with the idea, if he had parents that were like, you're not very good at it, you should never play basketball. Or you have a teacher that's like, oh, you should never write, you're not good at it. Like the whole deal, you could be essentially, you're deferring someone else's authority onto the gifts that you have to bring to the world and the things that bring you happiness. So fuck that person. You know what I mean? Like you need to follow your own intuition about what that looks like, because you could in fact be the whole damn vehicle. You could drive. You're not just a small part of it. You're not a spark plug. Like you could be the whole thing, and that means you can go places. You can go to big places. You can do big things, but do they have to be big to be worthy? No. Like say your podcast is only heard by 30 people. You might affect those 30 people's lives in such a huge way that you'll never, ever, ever know about. But by doing your joy and by being in that space, like you are changing the world. Yeah. By your existence here, you are changing the world. So you're not meant to stay small. You're not meant to just be, yes, in the macrocosm of it, like we are all these little cogs that are kind of playing together. But on this earth plane, like I'm going to drive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I think too, I love to look at that in the sense of music, like a symphony and an orchestra. Yeah. That if everybody was playing the same note, like that's boring. Or if there was just the person who's like doing the fancy, like soloing and they're here and they're there. No, you need like all of those notes. You need like the bass line that's holding it down, and you need like the parts that seem like it's dissonance, but it creates something more interesting. And so,
each one to play to the fullest to get that harmony.
Yeah.
So you have to be all of you in order to find that. And that's the beauty.
Yeah, for sure. It's like we don't so often we dismiss something we want to do because, oh, people are already doing that. And there's right. enough podcasts or there's enough, you know, musicians or whatever it is that you want to do. But each of us brings something so unique, and there's not you doing it yet. And who that's going to reach, because we need more. We need more than just the one person who's the best, who's at the top of the field. You know, we need diversity. We need people who have different messages and different talents and skills to reach different people. There's a lot of us as humans. There's a lot of people who have different needs and different almost resonances that are going to meet with them and help them get what they need. So we need all that shit. Yeah. Cool. Well, let's go into these kind of rapid fire. I call them rapid fire because they're like, they can be one word answers or short answers, but they're not easy questions. They're definitely still like existential deep questions.
I'm not answering things short, so just cut me off.
I mean, it doesn't have to be short. They're just like, yeah, they're less kind of topic questions and more specific questions, I guess is a better way to call them. So, all right, let's go into those. First one, what is love?
What is love? I do believe love is essentially oneness consciousness. Mm-hmm. It's like you're me and I'm you. Mm-hmm. So if I do something to hurt you, I hurt me. If I do something to love you, I love me. So it's the understanding that we're all one. That to me is the highest form of love.
Mm. I love that. What is God?
God to me is energy. Consciousness, energy is explained the same way God is in the Bible. Like it's never been created, can never be destroyed, like that whole thing. So, to me, like it is also the particles that bring things together in creation. I would just say energy. That's my short answer.
I love that. Why are we here?
I personally believe that we come to Earth as a contract to expand our souls, and that we come back over and over and over to continue to learn and expand our souls, and then to go live in our highest octave, and then leave Earth and or go to another planet, universe, dimension, whatever, to experience another one. And it may be this unending journey of the soul that continues to learn. So that's what I think.
Beautiful. What's our biggest mistake as humans?
Our biggest mistake as humans, gosh, there's so many. Our biggest mistake is to not see others as ourselves, because that's where a lot of fear and hate come from, which is our lowest vibrational things that we contact with on a daily basis. Universal love is not a concept that is on this planet. It's why I astral travel and go to other places all the time. And that might sound really out there for some people. But when we don't see others as ourselves, we create narratives and structures that divide us and cause us to fear each other and hate each other. And I think that's the biggest mistake.
Yeah. It's like that illusion of separateness has gone so far. Like, we've convinced ourselves by pretending to be other things so deeply that now we actually believe it. So we kind of have to come back to the one. Where's the next one? Is this real?
Is what real?
Whatever that means to you, whatever that brings up for you.
I do feel like we're kind of like in this matrix simulation. So I would say reality is obviously dependent and contingent upon the seer. I personally don't think so. There is reality to it, but I do think that there are some other things at play. Our veil of forgetfulness keeps us from really seeing what's actually happening, and our own realities can be such a small segment of what's actually happening. So in that, I don't think we're seeing the full picture.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you believe in past lives?
Yes. 100%. Do you want to know why?
Yes.
I think a soul's consciousness, it could not experience everything that it would need to in order to learn and expand in a, if you're lucky, 80-year period. So I think that it takes quite a bit longer to understand that. And you start your consciousness out as a rock or a plant and then an animal and then a human and then further on. So that's what I think.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What would you reincarnate as?
I would reincarnate as one of these like high vibrational aliens. I mean, in some ways I already think my higher self might be that, but I would definitely not want to come back to this raggedy planet.
Have you been hearing about the like harmonic convergence thing that's happening right now?
What'd you say?
The harmonic convergence. Have you been hearing about that? That's going on right now. It's like this event. It's an event that's happening that a bunch of people are like getting together every night and meditating for like kind of a download from our like brothers and sisters in the stars.
Yes, I have heard about that.
Yeah, yeah. Last night we sat out and like did, it's like streaming on Facebook, and we did the meditation and everything and kind of laid out, and definitely
awesome. Like April 4th, I think.
Yeah.
A portal or something, and everybody, I was part of that meditation, and you could see the Schumann resonance and the earth like raise up really crazy.
Yeah.
To raise the vibration of the planet. And I'm like, yes.
Yeah. There's a big one happening tonight. So if you want to join in, look it up. It's like a bunch of people are getting together to meditate at like certain times, and
perfect.
It's cool. If you're into that kind of thing, which seems like you are. Would you want to live forever?
I think we already do. I wouldn't want to live forever here.
Yeah.
But I think that like essentially energy cannot be destroyed. So we do in essence live forever.
Yeah. Love it. Do you believe in soulmates?
Yes. although I believe in it in a different way. I don't think there's like one person that's destined for you. I think that over time and over our life, we have so many souls that we come into contact with that we've made contracts with before we got here. Even my ex-husband, who I'm divorced from, was a soulmate of type because he helped me wake up in other ways. I do think that we ultimately get some choice in the matter of who to settle down with, essentially. But if you're talking about romantic soulmates, I have called in a partner who I believe makes me believe in that. Yeah.
Wow. That's so beautiful. I love that. I didn't believe in it until I met one. I was like,
Oh,
okay. Yeah. I picked you for sure. We decided this before. And then the last question is, if I told you that the whole world was listening to you right now and you could tell them one thing, what would you tell them?
Let's try and channel this It's to be your authentic self, like to stop playing small, to get into who you actually are. Like, what are your actual ideas? What do you actually want to happen in the world? What do you actually like to do? What are you doing in order to please someone else versus what's what rings true for you? To listen to your own resonance, listen to your own vibration. Who cares if anybody thinks it's crazy or stupid or weird? Like, to go with that, because the more you listen to that authentic self, you're going to step into gifts that and essentially accelerate your life's purpose in ways that you couldn't even imagine. You playing small and listening to other people's reasoning for why your life should be a certain way is only stifling you and keeping you away from your purpose. And you might need to reincarnate to finish it again if you live your life for other people. Mm. And I got this like itchiness in my third eye now. So I guess that's what that was supposed to say.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can see that connection. Beautiful. Thank you. So yeah, to wrap up, what's next for Aaliyah? What do you have coming up? What are you working on?
Sweet. So currently I have a course that I'm working on, so it's not available yet. It should be available sometime in September. It's called The Empath. It's a guide for empaths to turn inward, to understand their sensitivities, deepen their intuition, and find their life's purpose.
Beautiful. So
it should be really cool. I'm probably going to write a book about it afterwards, but yeah. Coming up, and then just like, yeah, you know, episodes every Monday on spiritual shit. And I'm starting a Patreon account because my individual episodes that I do by myself, we're going to move those over there pretty soon. Cause you know, it takes a lot of time. We got to make money somehow.
Yeah.
Anyway, so for people to support the show. So that's kind of like what we've been working on and putting a lot of energy into.
Beautiful. And lastly, where can people find you if they want more from you?
You can find me on all my handles at The Lovely Aaliyah, A-L-E-A, website, thelovelyaaliyah.com. And then you can just, you know, Google Spiritual Shit by Aaliyah Lovely, and you can find it on all major platforms.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much, Emily.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Remember, you can always watch these interviews on the MetaMoon YouTube channel. And if you ever have thoughts, suggestions, requests, anything, just reach out to me on social media at emily.capshaw. Until next time, remember, you are safe, you are loved, and you have everything you need within you.